Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. For the past 5 years, the Tulsa Children's Museum has served about 30,000 children and families here in the Tulsa area with a series of mobile outreach exhibits specializing in experiential learning, as well as family concerts. Now the organization is on the verge of having their own facility to serve more Tulsa families. The Owen Park Recreation Center is now being converted to the museum's Discovery Lab, a museum and discovery center offering changing exhibits of adventure and activities, which is expected to open in late spring of this year. To tell us about the new Discovery Lab in the Tulsa Children's Museum is the museum's recently named executive director, Ray Vandiver. Vandiver has over 20 years' experience in hands-on experiential learning. He co-founded the Boot Heel Youth Museum in Southeast Missouri. And most recently, he was a part of the senior leadership of the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry in Portland, one of the country's top science museums with over 750,000 visitors each year. He joins us to talk about the Discovery Lab and the work of the Tulsa Children's Museum here on Studio Tulsa. Ray Vandiver, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Rich, thanks for having me.
You're the first executive director of this new effort to create a Tulsa Children's Museum. In fact, there is a Tulsa Children's Museum, but it is a road exhibit, basically, at this point.
That's right. The Tulsa Children's Museum has been in existence for over 5 years, primarily through an outreach effort where mobile exhibits are brought to classrooms and community centers. And through that effort, over 40,000 children have already been served.
But the long-range goal is to actually have a physical home.
So the next phase of the Tulsa Children's Museum was to create what we call permanent walls. And so we are looking to repurpose the Owen Park Rec Center to be our first set of walls.
And that's actually underway now, right?
That is. So we have an agreement with the City of Tulsa. They're a wonderful partner. And we are currently in construction phase of establishing the Discovery Lab, what we're calling Discovery Lab, at Owen Park.
Before we talk about the Discovery Lab, let me ask you, how did you get involved? Now, you have a PhD in physics, but obviously something must have touched you to get involved in children's museum development. What was it?
Well, I think it probably starts, my father's a carpenter, and I always had access to tools, and I was encouraged to create as when I was a young person. I also found a passion for science and was on a path to completing my PhD in physics when my wife got involved in the Merrimack Science and Technology Learning Center that was born out of the University of Missouri at Rolla. And there was a physics professor who was very involved in that. My wife got involved, and she served as a director, and I quickly became an exhibit builder for that group. And we spent our time setting up in rural Missouri community centers and classrooms. This was completely free of charge, donation-based, and we just loved it. And so that's how we spent our free times, creating experiences and providing those experiences. And then as I was completing my PhD, we just decided to follow our passion. So we actually left Rolla, Missouri, and went to Malden, Missouri, and established the Boot Heel Youth Museum, which is a children's museum in Southeast Missouri. It was just awarded the National Medal from the Institute of Museum and Library Services and designated as one of the country's top children's museums. So that's very gratifying. And so they just received that award in December. So it continues. And after opening the Boot Heel Youth Museum, I had an opportunity to move to Portland, Oregon, to be the science director at the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry, and was promoted to vice president of exhibits and then ultimately vice president for the Center for Learning Experiences, which put me in charge of all of the mission-related efforts at the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry.
Let's talk about the importance of children's museums. Why are they important, and how can they have a positive effect on childhood development?
So research has shown that most of our learning, particularly in the areas of science and technology, happen outside of school. And those are through hands-on, minds-on experiences. And the school curriculum certainly provides that, but there are opportunities outside of the classroom to enhance, to reinforce, and to build the confidence that a child needs to be successful in today's society. So children's museums, science museums, and discovery centers provide that much-needed resource for children to explore on their own, guided by their own interests and curiosity, and to utilize the innate play, but directed towards discovering materials and techniques and wonder.
And that puts a big onus on the exhibit designers to make sure that that learning happens while the kids are actually having fun.
Yeah. So there is a lot of thought put in behind the scenes to what those experiences are. So based in best practices throughout the museums, there's a wonderful networks of museums of which we are a part of, primarily through the Association of Children's Museums, whereby based in learning theory, we trade our best practices in terms of impact. So it isn't just about play, but it is about making a difference and establishing confidence and an identity in a child as a learner.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you go about measuring that? Are there researchers that are actually measuring the effect of, say, an exhibit that teaches something like, well, how to build an ark, for example? You know, that's a very popular exhibit with the big pillows that you can actually build into an arch of some sort. Are there researchers that look at things like that to see, measure the effects and what it actually has on their learning achievement?
In fact, there is. And so we've been working with researchers in the field and will continue to do so. And we will look at things like engagement, and we'll measure how long a child will stay focused with an activity, and that will be a measure of success. So on average, in many of the hands-on museums across the country, we might look at interactions of 20 seconds as pretty good. We're actually going to push for experiences that might engage a child for 5 to 10 minutes and something that demonstrates that they're really engaged and exercising their creativity.
My guest today is Ray Vandiver, the executive director of the Tulsa Children's Museum. The Tulsa Children's Museum has been a museum without walls for the last few years, but they're actually going to get some walls. The Discovery Lab, which is a reworking of the Owen Park Recreation Center. Give us a sense of what the Children's Museum has been doing as a mobile lab. What sort of activities would you go into a classroom? Are you hitting elementary schools, preschools? Where exactly?
Elementary schools primarily and middle schools. We have two primary mobile exhibits, and one is the science and art of bubbles. And so, you know, children are creating bubbles out of very geometric shapes. And so we all have experiences with bubbles, but this sort of takes it to the next level and creates experiences with bubbles that are unexpected. And so that's been very popular.
So what, give us a sense, are you creating like triangle-shaped bubbles or what?
Yeah, so if you take a shape of a cube and drop it into a bubble solution, what emerges is not what you expect. You might expect that the bubbles to form on the sides of the cube, but in fact, what's set up is a cube inside of a cube, and it's actually quite beautiful. And it, the
so
geometric
almost like
shapes
a,
are
a diamond.
It looks quite complex, but in fact, there's some real science behind that. It is actually the surface that requires the minimum energy to set up. And so there's a little bit geared at the audience, of
course.
Now,
see, I would see that would be like junior high or senior
exactly.
high level.
So, you know, so schools talk of benchmark experiences. We talk of landmark experiences. So when they reach junior high and they're receiving a science lesson that talks about minimum energy surfaces by chance, they will recall when they're younger having experience with the Tulsa Children's Museum, this wondrous bubble exhibit.
So it becomes an experience that you might not understand what's going on when you're third or fourth grade, but when you come back to it in seventh or eighth grade, it becomes a reference
exactly.
for learning the theory when you're actually being
yeah,
taught.
Exactly.
It.
And another mobile exhibit we call Reclaim This, and it uses materials that would have been bound for the trash can or the landfills, but collects those and presented to classrooms to create arts and crafts from, if you will, materials that no longer have a use for their intended purpose, and now we're going to use them in extraordinary ways.
You see some interesting results from the kids? I mean, do they come out with, give us a sense of some of the things they
yes,
come up with?
So it is fantastic. So it isn't modeled after, here, create something that looks like this. This is, here's some materials.
Build something,
and you're exactly right. What emerges is wondrous.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you're hoping to achieve with the Owen Park Recreation Center, your Discovery Lab. How much space will you have? How many exhibits will you have in it? Do you have a sense?
So the Rec Center is 12,000 square feet, of which 8,000 square feet will be dedicated to exhibit space. That's divided into a 6,000 square foot exhibit hall, a 2,000 square foot exhibit hall, and then we also have an adjacent laboratory that we're calling our DIY maker space. So this is going to be a dynamic space. So ever-changing as we are looking to establish our own identity as a children's museum based in best practices in the field and rooted in learning theory. But the first iteration, looking to open this spring, we will have an area where we will use packing tape and cardboard, again, to inspire this idea of extraordinary uses of ordinary materials. So there'll be a designed, iconic piece. It's going to be a two-story, if you will, think Swiss Family Robinson meets packing tape and cardboard. So it'll be a structure that the children will be able to walk across a bridge made entirely out of packing tape and be safe. But it's unexpected. And so to step out 20 feet over the ground on nothing but packing tape is going to be extraordinary. So we are designing that right now. And so there'll be cardboard creations. So it's meant to be wondrous and extraordinary and have a high wow factor. Mm-hmm. But then interspersed among will be what we're calling creation stations. So where we will challenge children and families to create with tape and cardboard. So maybe they're going to create a chair. Maybe they want to create a backpack. Maybe they just want to create something fanciful like a like an automobile out of cardboard and role play. But we'll be able to give them the tools and the techniques to take it wherever their curiosity and imagination might.
Sounds like a lot of abstract thinking involved with these. I mean, sometimes you go to a children's museum, it's pretty much all laid out there for them. It sounds like your vision is more of a, here's material, abstract, you know, do whatever you want. And that's really engaging a different part of the brain, probably yes. More parts of the brain.
And what we're specifically looking towards is to provide opportunities for children to practice their skills and creativity and innovation.
So it almost sounds like parenting help too. I mean, it's kind of like, here's things you can do with your kids. You don't have to have the biggest games or, you know, lots of money. You can have fun with, you know, just stuff at the house.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things we hope to measure is what is that impact beyond the experience at Discovery Lab. So what has Discovery Lab inspired in the child or in the family to continue the exploration on their own outside of that experience?
This is sort of an interim sort of four walls experience. What's the ultimate goal for the Tulsa Children's Museum? To have a standalone facility at some point, or will it be a combination of maybe a rec center here, the mobile lab at other places? What exactly?
The agreement we have with the city of Tulsa is for 3 years, renewable for an additional two. So we have an agreement to occupy that space for 5 years. As we establish the Discovery Lab and create the rotating exhibits and experiences that will last through that 5 years, we will also be looking at establishing a more permanent facility. We're still looking at options of where that might be located. We're looking, nonetheless, something that is accessible to the widest segment of the Tulsa community. So we're actually thinking downtown area is where we're looking to find. Owen Park, as an example,
it's not too far away.
Exactly. So it's a beautiful park. It's Tulsa's oldest park, and it's accessible to the wider Tulsa community. So it's going to suit our purposes perfectly. But while we are operating Discovery Lab, we'll be looking to establish the more permanent Tulsa Children's Museum.
I was struck by something you just said, Ray, which was that rotating exhibits. You know, I'm done with going to the Children's Museum with my own children now, but I went to a number over the years, and there would be few that would just be outstanding and just a great experience. But there were an awful lot that seemed like time capsules. You know, it was put up, and that was the last thing that was done. And I know as a parent, I know my kids still had fun at these exhibits, but I'm not sure how much learning they got out of them. And I'm not sure, you know, from the parental standpoint, it was almost like, well, this is so old. I don't want to go. I mean, it was really the parent has a decision on whether the kid goes to the facility. How important is changing exhibits and basically keeping up to date for a children's museum?
So our intention is to be a dynamic learning environment. And One of the things we hope to establish in our relationship with the community and partnership with area communities is a repeat visit. So to increase the number of impressions. So, and to keep it fresh, to keep it new, it also allows us a chance to check in. What is working? What's not working? So we will constantly be looking at impact. So we want to make a difference. So this sets us up as just a matter of who we are to keep steering the work that we're doing in ways that best engage the community of Tulsa.
Mm-hmm. So I assume that means changing exhibit, which of course that's expensive too.
It is. So the business model, which is consistent with most children's museums across the country, we are expecting that at least half of the revenues necessary to accommodate the kinds of changes that we're talking about will come in through earned sources, which basically means through ticket sales and memberships and things of that nature. The balance of it will come through writing grants and seeking support through corporations and individuals to advance our educational mission and our learning objectives.
Yeah. The other thing I noticed when you're, a lot of times when you visit a children's museum is just the wear and tear. You know, you have kids pounding on stuff, beating on stuff. They're learning, but they're also, you know, they're rough on stuff. That's a big expense for a children's museum.
And the art of that, and you're exactly right, is to know how to over-design, over-engineer, just to that point, knowing that these things will have to withstand thousands of touches a day and last for years. And so to be able to engineer something that will withstand that kind of, if you will allow, loving abuse, but it has to be remain clean and has to be remain in good repair. One of the things that I'm also a museum enthusiast, and one of the things that I hate to see when I visit a museum is a broken exhibit.
Yeah. It's nothing worse.
And even if it's a relatively low percentage of the total, it's still a loss. So anyway, the experiences I've had in bringing to Tulsa have included developing exhibits, not only for the museum I worked at in Portland, but we actually produced exhibits for children's museums and science museums all over the world. So, and we're known for durability and maintenance-free experiences. So that's part of the recipe of success.
Since you have this extensive history as an exhibit designer, give us a sense of some of the ones that you're most proud of that really opened doors to learning and were a lot of fun and popular.
Yeah, so the style of exhibitry that we're also looking to bring to Tulsa will be the type that is known as open-ended or inquiry-based. And basically, the recipe there is provide a challenge to the child and then provide the tools the child will need to address that challenge in his or her own way. So that could be, I can recall the first exhibition that I developed for the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry was called Engineer It, and it had water tanks, and children could design and build their own boats. And then they would be able to test their boats in a water tank. And so they could test them for speed, and they were designing motorboats and sailboats and paddle boats all in different tanks.
Their stability, for example?
For stability.
So you're teaching them the negative buoyancy and that sort of thing?
Uh-huh. And there was also shake tables, and they were engineering buildings that could withstand
Earthquakes
are
simulated,
shaking. And so, but there would be a challenge. So, you know, build it this high and build it so that it will withstand this shaking. And so they could test their own creations. And then the key to a successful exhibit is allowing for mistakes, but encouraging a child to try it again. So think of a design, build a design, test the design, then redesign, test it again. So this is what we're looking to establish is what we're talking about is engineering design. It's well known, but how do you do that in a way that's fun, engaging not just to a professional engineer, but to a four-year-old? So this style of exhibits, in fact, can be used by a professional engineer, can be used by a four-year-old. Now, the way they use it will be different, and the way they see success will be different, but nonetheless, each will have an engaging experience.
Of course, then you're bringing the parent involved with the child too as well.
Yes.
Because it's got to be.
Yeah.
You know, there's...
So, yeah. So this will be a family-based experience. So we will – and in terms of – we talk about what is family-friendly. So we want the parents to be engaged and we want the children to be engaged. So, again, this will lend itself on design and the design element. So we'll be looking to achieve that.
My guest today is Ray Vandiver, the executive director of the Tulsa Children's Museum. Right now, the Tulsa Children's Museum is a museum without walls. They go to classrooms all around and probably preschools as well around the area. But they have just come under contract with the city of Tulsa to convert the Owen Park Recreation Center to a new Discovery Lab, which will be the first four-wall home for the Children's Museum and an interim home as they hope to build a permanent facility. And he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. You've talked about some of the successful exhibits you've put together, but is it more difficult today with kids of this generation that, you know, probably start seeing cell phones and multimedia at incredible young ages in the traditional activities of a children's museum today, or are kids still kids?
You know, there's nothing like real reality. So the experiences that we'll be producing puts tools in the hands of children in a safe, accessible environment. And there's learning by doing, and learning by using our hands is so important. And while I think our audience is more sophisticated with digital interfaces and all the
touch screens that tell you what to do. Yeah, exactly.
We will primarily look to establish experiences that are, if you will, more hands-on, using levers and wheels and machines, but we will look to incorporate the digital. There's a lot of learning theory out there, or a lot of research out there on how to best utilize those resources. And one of the things we will be striving for is creating experiences that you can only experience at the Tulsa Children's Museum. So we won't be looking to replicate what you can do at home. So if we were to bring in a digital experience, it would be within the identity of Tulsa Children's Museum. So there would be some creative aspect, some challenge to help children build their skills, their innovation skills. So maybe it is programming a touchpad or creating an app, something along those lines, but getting away from just pushing buttons and...
one of the best I've seen, I think, was at Disney World. There was a motion simulator, which you designed your own roller coaster, and then you actually got in the motion simulator and you actually rode the coaster. Is that the sort of thing you're talking? Maybe that's a high budget item, but
that would be a high budget. That sounds fantastic, and I've experienced the same. And but that is what I'm talking about. So utilizing the technology of today, aligning with what is understood to be best practices in using those objects to teach and as learning tools, and then creating something wow and unexpected with that. But we will be emphasizing hands-on and children doing things on their own.
I'm interested. You've been involved with a number of children's museums. Is it almost important to market to the parents more than the kids? Because, you know, I just think it was my own experience as a parent. It's me making the decision to go to that children's museum. Is it important that you appeal to parents as much as you're appealing to the children as far as getting kids in the door?
Yeah, I think absolutely. And I think our strongest promotion tool will be word of mouth. So as
you've been getting great word of mouth already, yeah, just from the kids talking about it to their parents at home and things.
And to get them there once, I think, again, traditional children's museums might expect one visit a year. We're actually looking, as I mentioned earlier, repeat visits.
What does that mean, like three or four visits a year?
We would like to see three or four visits a year. And as I say, on each visit, there will be something new to experience and to enjoy. But I think the marketing to the children and to parents, the whole family, is going to be important.
Well, and that's a tremendous burden for your staff as far as creating new exhibits on that big of a changing scale. I mean, I think of exhibits having, you know, at least 18 months, 2 years for a children's museum or a science museum. These are usually longer term exhibits, so it creates quite a burden to come up with all sorts of new activities.
And we are currently fabricating the experiences that will be installed by spring, but we're beginning also to concept that next iteration as we're planning for the future. So one of the things that we feel is important is that we are developing, designing, and building our own exhibits. And when I look across the country at what are those children's museums that you mentioned that are dynamic, that are cutting edge, that are really making a difference, the ones that are developing those experiences locally or in-house are the ones that really are pushing the boundaries. And that's how we see ourselves. So we are, as we're building the experiences for spring, we're already concepting the experiences beyond.
And it will be a mixture, as I understand it, you're looking for a hybrid between just the sort of sensory environment that a lot of children's museums will do, and then the science education of, say, a more of a science center or a science museum. That's what you're striving for?
Yeah, and so the experiences will be a hybrid of an exhibit experience, but also sort of a program experience, as you mentioned. So it's less about here is a kiosk and a component, and it has a lever you pull, and it does this one thing, which could be very cool. But we will be looking to establish those experiences that the child and family members can contribute to themselves, which is often messier and has higher consumable costs. And it's this hybrid between what is a traditional exhibit and what is a traditional program. So we're sort of merging those two worlds into one larger experience.
Now, earlier you were talking about your packing tape and cardboard community and this whole idea of a bridge and a structure and basically parents and children being able to create their own.
Yeah, I think exactly that. Uh-huh. So one concept we have is to create, leave unfinished one part of this and then just provide tape and cardboard to families and just watch it organically grow. And then it may be at a point that we cut it back and then watch it organically grow again, contributed by children and families. So as I say, there's going to be sort of an inspirational design piece, but then that's the starting point for hopefully some innovations and some true creation on the part of the children.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to this. What's the target date at this point? Do we have a target date, or is it just sometime in the spring? Or?
So right now we're saying late spring.
Late spring.
We're
so
still finalizing
about the time school gets
the
out, I guess.
Last details of the exhibit build and also the facility remodel. So it'll be in the next couple of weeks that we'll have a better sense of an exact date, but late spring.
Is the Owen Park Recreation Center in good shape? I know we've had some rec centers that were in that were not in the greatest shape. Is the Owen Park particularly good bones on it?
Yes, it does. It's actually in really good shape, and it's going to lend itself. You know, as I first walked through it, it felt to me as
you
if
said, "This is a museum."
Yeah, it could have been designed as a museum. So it's going to lend itself quite nicely. So we are updating some of the facilities, adding air conditioning to the what was the gym space, and modernizing the restrooms and putting a polish on it, making it beautiful, getting it set up to be clean and safe. But most of that is cosmetic. As you say, it was pretty solid bones.
All right. Well, we look forward to the opening of the Tulsa Children's Museum Discovery Lab in the spring of this year at Owen Park. Ray Vandiver, thanks very much for joining us.
Rich, thank you.
Ray Vandiver is the executive director of the Tulsa Children's Museum. The museum's Owen Park Recreation Center, which will be redubbed the Discovery Lab, will open in late spring of this year. For more information about the facility, visit TulsaChildrensMuseum.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.